All right. Thank you, Alicia. My. Nobody cares for us like the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Appreciate the good message and song. I'm going to ask you to go to a book that you'll find immediately. The last book in the Bible. The book of Revelation. I want you to go with me to chapter 6. Book of Revelation deals with a lot of end time events. It tells us a lot of bad stuff, but bless the Lord, it winds up in victory. Amen. And so don't be discouraged that I'm going to be a little bit on the bad stuff this morning. I haven't hollered at you folks in a couple of weeks, so I got to get out of my system. Amen. I'm not hollering at you. I'm hollering at the mess this world's in. Amen. Revelation chapter 6, I want you to just look at a verse or two, and I'll try to give you the setting of it, and then we'll go over to chapter 20 and read a couple of more verses. I remind you that in the book of Revelation, John is exiled out on the Isle of Patmos. The rulers think they've gotten rid of him, but God was in it. He was out there on purpose to receive a message from Christ. And Christ gives him the book of Revelation. In that first chapter, you find out that's where he was. He received the vision. There was a message in the next two chapters to the seven churches that were in Asia. And then in the fourth chapter, we find John, even though he's on the Isle of Patmos physically, apparently gets caught up spiritually into heaven. And God lets him look down on the earth and shows him a lot of the stuff that's going on the earth. So in chapter 5, we catch John in heaven. And John is seeing the one on the throne, God himself. And there's a lot of weeping in heaven because nobody is worthy to come and take the book that God holds in his hand. And then John hears the message, "Weep not, for the line of the tribe of Judah," talking about Jesus, "has come and he's prevailed." And then when John looks, he sees not a lion, but he sees a lamb, as though it had been slain or offered in sacrifice. And of course, that's picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes and takes the book from the Father on the throne. And it's a seven sealed book. And you find then in chapter 6, the seals start to be opened. And as the seals are opened, you have something that literature and the world has talked about for a long time, the so-called four horsemen of the apocalypse. Remember the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. Four of them. Four seals are open. And a lot of debate about whether or not those horses have ever run. I don't think so. I think they're beginning to come out of their stalls. They're beginning to get ready at the starting line. Awful time pictured by those four horsemen. But when I pick up in chapter 6, I'm picking up not on the four seals or the four horsemen. I'm picking up on the fifth seal. Now, there's six seals open, but we're only going to deal with the fifth and later on the seventh one, but just deal with the fifth seal. So I want you to start in Revelation chapter 6 in verse 9. It says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain." Now, let's look why they were slain. Number one, for the word of God. Number two, for the testimony which they held. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" They were killed on the earth. "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed," watch this, "as they were, should be fulfilled." Some more on earth are yet to be killed. And God tells these souls, rest a while. Going to get vengeance later. "When others are killed as they were." Now, if you want to know how they got killed, you'll catch up with the news when we turn you over to Revelation chapter 20. Go over to Revelation chapter 20 and you're getting on to the good part of the book of Revelation. You're getting to the time the Lord Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom on earth. And you find out that when he does, his people are going to rule and reign with him on earth. That's the kingdom when you pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. That's what you're talking about. And so here in Revelation 20, We find Satan has been bound for 1,000 years. We find that he can no longer deceive the nation. And then we get down to verse 3 and 4. Let's go to verse 4 of Revelation 20. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were, watch the next two words, beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Same reason as we found in chapter 6. Number 2, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now here's what we just discovered. We discovered the souls that are slain here under the fifth seal. They're under the altar. They're crying out for God to avenge them as to what happened on earth. God says, wait a while. Some more got to be killed the same way. And then we go over to Revelation 20 and we find out how they were killed. They didn't sit in the electric chair. They were not hanged with a rope. They were beheaded. They were beheaded. Now the news of the week, this week, has been bad. I mean, it looks like the wheels have come off the world. It just looks like everything is crashing and it's not good, and it's been increasingly bad. We heard over in Iraq how the Christians and some other minorities was crowded up on the mountain and being slain. And yes, we finally, slowly and finally acted a little bit, and maybe we saved some of them. I read where they went into a village and they assassinated, they killed, they murdered 300 men, but they stole 1,000 women and children and took them away to a horrible fate, worse than death. And that's the crowd over there that we're dealing with. And yet, what bothers me so much is how weak we seem to be in Washington, D.C. Our response is so weak. Even the French and the English have acted before we have. Talk about leading from the rear, brother. I don't even know if we're back there sometime. And it's amazing. If I see any good sign at all, our military is beginning to grumble a little bit. The Pentagon's even having some things to say, and I hope that increases. My, I do. I really do. But in addition, the world's got all kind of problems. You got Israel in the warfare for their life. If Israel did not fight back, they would be exterminated. The genocide of the Jews is what the Arabs want, my friends. That's it. And then you got Russia. Well, in a way, if I was Mr. Putin and I wanted to conquer, I'd do it while all the weak signals are coming out of the White House. I'd certainly do it. Then you got the riots in Missouri, and you got stuff in America that should not be happening. I look around, and yet the final insult seemed to be when we saw the video of the man having his head taken off, beheaded, a journalist. Now, we remember, and I had the video here, preacher came by and showed it to some of us in the church, about Daniel Pearl, who's also decapitated a long time back. Now they've got several others, and they're promising to do them. But the very audacity to put it on video and to text the parents ahead of time, a week ahead of time, and tell them we're going to do this, and to make the video, and to put it in the face. Well, they even had the audacity to call the president off the golf course. It is amazing. The truth of the matter is, they've got our number. And some of the things I fear is they're already over here plotting. They could have easily, if they haven't, they can easily come in through Mexico. If not that, they come in the airports on the passports they've got. And we had in the news this week where hundreds of them have passports. Hundreds of them, some of them, including maybe the executioner, was from Britain or England. And by the way, we're going to get him, because Attorney General Holder's made a criminal investigation. Now, I know you're laughing, but isn't it sad? If we don't know the difference in a criminal act and an act of war, what in the world is the matter with us, folks? Now, just buckle your seatbelt. I'm not through yet. It is amazing to me. I see our country confused. I see us fearful. I just got back from Ohio and West Virginia, And I want to tell you, there's a lot of Americans storing up ammunition. There's a lot of Americans saying, oh, we got to do something. We're fearful now. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't think that's the answer, but I do think we got to do something. Yes. And a lot of fear is toward our own government. Yes. Some of the things that are leaking out, I hope they're not true, but if half of them's true, we got some right to be afraid. I heard this week, and of course we've already known when you use your cell phone, they can hear you every time they want to. All that knowledge has been stored. But now this week they were talking about, yeah, but if we get down to martial law, if we get down to a takeover in America, they're going to shut your phones down. Now some of you would have withdrawal pains that would kill you if that happened. I mean, it'd be worse than taking your food away in many cases. But they're talking about being able to do that. Shut off the phones. Homeland Security, it's leaked out that they've ordered 100,000, I said homeland, our homeland here on this side of the ocean, have ordered 100,000 body bags. They've all ordered 250,000 outfits, riot outfits. We're talking about using on our own citizens. Yeah. That's what I'm talking to you about. I don't know if I'd say the Latin word right, but I know what I'm talking about when I say there is a word, it's been a doctrine in America all the way back from the Revolutionary War on, and that doctrine is posse comitatus, and what it means is that the military cannot be used against American citizens. But the military is leaking out now that they're being trained to do that. That's scary. Yes, sir. That is scary. They say that we've got at least 30,000 drones flying around, or will be able to fly around America to spy. I checked it out. The Georgia legislature and another state out west has stored up as many as 30,000 guillotines. That's the book of Revelation again. Now the fear comes from, what do they need that stuff for? I mean, we got enough enemies on the other side of the ocean. We got enough enemies slipping in. Why are we preparing to control the citizenship in America? I'm talking about good old-fashioned, Bible-believing, conservative, home values type people. Why are they so afraid of our values? What in the world is going on? We got fears of a new government taking place. Dictatorship. Eliminate representatives in Congress and just have an executive order to do everything. Folks, that's very near. Did you just see in the news this week where the citizens of Florida voted a long time ago, no gay marriage? Marriage was man and a woman. That got overturned. We got probably a homosexual judge, I don't know, but many of them are, that have overturned the vote in as many as 19 states that voted against. I'm talking about the vote of the citizen means nothing anymore. You say you're being a little hard. Could I use the words, and I know a preacher that was in the meeting, he reached for his cell phone to tape what was being said by the president, and a Secret Service man reached over and told him to put it back up. Where's our transparency at? Here it is right here off the website. Let me give you 9 statements in the president's own words. June 17th. President is speaking at the LGBT. You know what that stands for? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender fundraiser in New York City. All right, Radio Land, turn them off or put your ear closer. Here it comes. Here's the words. He's speaking. So Pride Month is a time for celebration. And this year, we've got a lot to celebrate. If you think about everything that's happened in the last 12 months, it's remarkable. In 9 more states, you're now free to marry the person you love. That includes my 2 home states, Hawaii and Illinois. I guess he left out Kenya, but anyway. Let me come on back. Come on back with me. The NFL drafted its first openly gay player. Football players. The U.S. Postal Service made history by putting an openly gay person on a stamp. The late, great Harvey Milk, smiling from ear to ear. I'm reading the quote. Don't get mad at me. Or get mad at me if you want to. When I took office, only 2 states had marriage equality. Today, 19 states and the District of Columbia do. But because of your help, we've been able to do more to protect the rights of lesbians and gays and bisexual and transgender Americans than any administration in history. I say amen to that. We repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell because no one should have to hide who you love to serve the country we love. I lifted the 22-year-old ban on people with HIV traveling to the U.S. Before I took office, only 1 openly gay judge had been confirmed in history. We have 10 more. We stopped defending the so-called Defense of Marriage Act in the courts and argued against it argued against it before the highest court in the land. I've directed my staff to prepare for my signature an executive order prohibiting discrimination by federal contractors on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. I didn't write it. That was what was said, and it's probably even still on the website. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying simply this. We got the previews of the end times on us. End time previews. I guess if I was going to title this little speech some folks won't like, I'd call it End Time Previews. Because the simple thing is, I've read the book and I know what was predicted. And I'm in the book of Revelation this morning, and I just showed you something that was headlining in the news, the atrocity of it, the savagery of it, the beheading of a person. And that's been going on. And yet the book of Revelation is way ahead. It says in those end times, when the trouble begins, that the people will have their heads chopped off if they don't take the mark, if they don't worship the beast, if they don't fall in line with the government program, then the penalty of death is head chopping. You say, well, does that mean Islam's going to be in control? I don't know. But I know one thing, what the Bible said is already happening, and it will happen, and it will be fulfilled. And we are seeing it move in fast. Yes. Move in fast. Now, the answers are found in the Bible. The text I read talks about the heads being chopped off. Now, first, I remind you again that the 4 horsemen have already ridden. And the first of those horsemen is the one that claims to come in speaking peace and bringing peace and putting the whole world together. We know him in scriptural texts as being the man of sin, the son of perdition. He's also called the Antichrist. And so you can recognize it from that. Now, he's on the white horse. He's the deceiver. He's the one that brings in fake peace, and he's the one that brings in global unity. If you can't understand what's happening in the news, why we can't identify a religion that wants to kill us as being terrorists, why we can't understand why we are pussyfooting around like we are, you need to understand it's a global plan to put it all together. And there'll be a global leader. In fact, he'll have a partner. We're in the book of Revelation. Let's just look at it. Turn over to Revelation chapter 13. And you'll find out there's 2 so-called beasts that show up. One of them is called the false prophet. And you read about him in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon.
And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Probably there's going to be an assassination attempt on the first beast, and he's going to live through it. And the false prophet, the one with horns like a lamb, but he's a speaks like a dragon, is going to say, worship this one that survived that attack. And you read in this same chapter where it says up in verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Those that aren't saved, those that aren't Christians, those that don't have their name written in the Lamb's book of life, this scripture says all will worship him. Now, folks, we are getting really close to seeing the global stuff come together like never before. Here in this chapter 13 of Revelation, it is talking about one world government. Let me also say this. You can't have global government unless you have global religion. What you got today in the terrorists and the ISIS and all that crowd over in the Middle East, what America don't seem to want to recognize is they're motivated by their religion. When they chop off heads, they are fulfilling their book, their commands. We need to face that. And so to put a one world global government together, you've got to have religion in it. But if you can make it a one world religion, then dissenters like myself and many of you, they got to do something with us. I'm hoping before they get around to doing something to me, the Lord's going to do something with me. I hope before you come to church one Sunday morning and find out the news that a black car pulled up at my house at 1 a.m. and stole me away and nobody knows where I'm at. Before you hear that, I hope you hear the trumpet saying the Lord called us up. Yes. Amen. I'm certainly hoping that comes first. But I want to say to you that is already happening in other lands. Yeah. Let me tell you about putting one world religion into one world government. We know the most powerful religion on earth, far as a headquarters, far as organization, far as wealth, is the Vatican. You know that. The writers of the Bible knew that in prophecy. I'm pointing to my left. The last building on this piece of property, on the landmark, is our Spanish department. Over here. Brother Jose Mejiga heads it up. He just got back off of a trip from Nicaragua, and he showed me Saturday morning on his cell phone the pictures that he'd made of the buildings, the great cathedral type buildings down in Nicaragua. All of them, Catholic buildings, have statues outside of them. We that believe in the first commandment don't believe we should, but they do. And he showed me the statues out in front of those buildings with decoration added to them, was not there years before, added to them of the crescent moon. Do you understand what the crescent moon is? Not a full moon, sliver of a moon, the crescent moon. You want to see where the crescent moons are stamped? They're stamped on mosque. Islam, mosque. Do you understand what is going on there? On Catholic buildings where they've got their saints, where they've got a crown on Mary's head, also they got the crescent moon. Do you know what that's saying to you and I? It's saying we're going to put the biggest religions in the world together in harmony. You see, Allah is not the Lord God Jehovah. Allah is the moon god, a tribal moon god that Muhammad chose. And when Muhammad said there's no god but Allah, he is referring to all the other gods of the other tribes, and he chose Allah. I don't care where you hear it, where you hear it from the White House or the liberal news media or what, Allah is not God. He is a moon god. He is a false cult. A cult that chops off your heads, a cult that does what we are seeing in the news today. Don't get off and be mixed up, and I don't care who says, well, Allah and God's the same. No, they're not. No, they're not.
And Islam says that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. They say he was not crucified. How can you put that together? But it's coming. There's going to be a one world religion to go along with a one world government. And it's not that far away. That explains some stuff that's going on now. That explains why in the White House we dropped the day of national prayer, but we celebrate Ramadan in the White House every year and have for the last six. Ramadan. What is Ramadan? That's a religious holiday of Islam. It's a fast day. Compared to Christian fasting, it's a joke. Ramadan, you don't eat all day long, but you pig out at night. That's not much of a fast. That's just getting daylight and dark mixed up. But that's Ramadan. So that's been observed now in the White House, and our military over there in the Arab lands are required on the holiday of Ramadan to not be seen violating that fast day. And one soldier told me, he said, I pulled out a moon pie. He didn't say moon pie, I'm adding that. And he said, I ate it right in front of them, made them mad as fire. He said, I just kept my gun handy. Amen. Now, I like that kind of soldier. Amen. Amen. But the military is ordered to submit to Sharia law. Sharia law. Observe their religious holiday, Ramadan, and others, and others. Let me say this. If you don't understand some things that's going on, put it in the context of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about bringing the religions together, bringing the governments together. And the truth is, we see some stuff going on. We can't understand it as Americans, but it's happening. In Daniel 11:37, it talks about the Antichrist. It gives identified marks in several places in Daniel. One thing it says about him, it says that he'll be the willful king. He'll do what he wants to do. The other thing it says is that he'll ignore the desire of women. Desire of women. Now, you can twist that around a little bit, but it makes a lot of Bible students think he's homosexual. Homosexual. Is he? Maybe he is, or maybe he's just got a homosexual agenda. I don't know, but we got a homosexual agenda in America right now. And it's coming from the top down. I just read it to you a while ago. I read to you about going to a fundraiser for the lesbians and the gender cross-dressers and all that crowd that was there. And I'm saying to you, that may explain some things. Like, for instance, if you'll go over to the embassy in Israel, American embassy, you'll find Old Glory. But right under Old Glory, you'll find the rainbow flag of the homosexuals. What kind of message are we sending the world? You know what the rainbow flag is? It's that. Hey, you go up to Chicago and go around the church buildings up there. I rode around with a preacher up there. He said, now look at that building and look at that building. And he said, outside on the corners of those buildings, he said, they will have a sign. It'll be pink. It'll be rainbow. It is saying to the homosexual crowd, we're friendly toward you. Don't do anything bad to us. Yeah, right here in America, Chicago. But to fly that flag under Old Glory in a foreign embassy is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I'm going to say just this, because time is gone. What does these previews mean to you? I mean, I've talked about what's in the news. I talked about here in the book of Revelation, it didn't surprise God, because God said the time would come, you'd either conform or you'd have your head chopped off. So I'm talking to you about something current. What does that mean to you? What does these previews of what's coming mean to you? If you're just a regular common man today, if you're listening on the radio or you're here in this building, you're an honest man. You may not be saved. You may not be a Christian. You may not be a church attender, but you're honest. You're the kind of fellow I wouldn't mind living inside of. You wouldn't come over and steal my tools. You're that kind of man. You're raised right. Even though if you were not raised in church, you knew it was wrong to do this and do that, and you've raised your family that way, and you basically are a moral man, and you're trustworthy. And what does it mean to you, what I'm talking about this morning? You say, well, preacher, I'm not into politics. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking about circumstances and conditions in our country that we love and in the world. I mean, you might just be a common and regular guy. You might vote sometimes. Sometimes you don't. You're not into it much. But you're getting alarmed because you're seeing the same news I'm talking about. You're hearing the same thing, and you're saying, what's going on? What's going on? You pass this church building, and you say, there's a rich church out there. No, we're the best friend you got, whether you know it or not. And we're the ones that's giving you a voice if you'd get in on it and take a stand. I'm saying to you, you might just be, you say, well, I'm just a common guy. When it gets bad enough, I'll get my gun. You will? By the time you get that far, it'll be way too late. Way too late. That's not the answer anyhow. That's not the answer. The answer, there is an answer. If God's people that are called by my name, if we'd stand up, if we'd vote, if we'd say right is right and wrong is wrong and we won't have this any longer, we could change in one election a whole bunch of wrong stuff in America. If we would. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but because I don't embarrass you. How many of you are planning on voting? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I'm trying to tell you don't raise your hand, but you're raising them anyway. Now, what I'm saying is, because you're going to embarrass them, it won't. And y'all ought to be embarrassed, folks. We still have a constitution. It's been shredded, but we still have it. We still have freedom, but we won't have it if we don't protect it. It is slipping away and slipping away fast. And I'm saying to you, what does these previews of coming things mean to you? What can you do about it? I'll say to you, if you're a common man, you want honesty, you want to raise your family in a moral climate, you want to see things basically right, you want to earn your way, you don't want somebody else to pay your way. If you're that kind of man, the best thing you could do is get right with God, get saved, get in a house like this, and take a stand with the people that know what's going on. That's the answer. If you're here as a Christian, and you're just coasting in apathy. You're expecting the rapture soon, I am. But suppose it don't come soon. We're told to occupy till he comes, not sleep till he comes, not goof off till he comes, but to do what we can till he comes. Occupy, hold our ground, take a stand, speak up. You know, the rapture is my blessed hope, sure it is. But I believe with all my heart, God's going to hold me accountable for my watch, for my time that I'll have to answer for. What did I do? And the truth is, he's going to hold all of us that way. Yes, it's the blessed hope. Yes, I'm looking for Jesus to come. But I'll have a negative side to that, and that's this. Who are we going to leave behind that we love? I used to hear mother say before she knew any Bible, before she got saved, when I was just a kid, none of us were saved, none of us knew any Bible. I used to hear her say something like this: how could I be happy in heaven if one of my kids was in hell? I heard that several times. That's not bad reasoning. Yes, yes, I think God can make that possible. But right now, humanly speaking, wouldn't that be a hard thing? Yes, I'm going to heaven, but daddy and mama's going to hell. I'm going to heaven, but sister's going to hell. That's bad. You see, you and I ought to have a desire to tell everybody we can the good news that Jesus saves. We've been singing about it this morning, talking about it in Sunday school. But hey, my responsibility is to tell everybody I can. Reach everybody I can. Stand for what's right. And I fear our freedom to preach like I'm preaching this morning is going to be short. I don't believe it's going to go on like this for much longer. I think an awful time is yet ahead.
But in the meantime, I've got the opportunity to give the gospel that Jesus loved sinners and died for them. And they can receive him and have the gift of eternal life, freely paid for. He will pay for our sins, and he'll get us into heaven. Not my good works, not my church membership, not my baptism, but Jesus only paid the way to trust him. Amen? To trust him. You see, what's the blessed hope for the Christian will be the doom for the one that's unsaved when Jesus comes. The Bible says he could come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Just that quick. I've thought about it before. There's been books and songs written about people that had dreams that they were lost and saw the family going to heaven and they were going to hell. And I've read books about people thinking they dreamed that, and I've heard songs about it. I can't think of a more awful thing than for you to have been in the building like this, more than once maybe, and heard the gospel, and all of a sudden, you're going to miss some friends. You're going to miss some family. And it's going to dawn on you, I'm left behind. What that preacher was talking about, what they were singing about, the rapture, it's happened. And my chances are over. Can you imagine the horror of that? The horror of that? To have that realization? I've told you about it before, but when I was a youth leader years ago, young lady in my youth group and a young man, they ultimately got married. And shortly, year or two, they had a baby. I know right where the house is. I could go to it. Nice place. She tells a story. She told it in church. It got a hold of all of us. She said, my husband was at work. It was a typical morning. Said I was fixing lunch. She said, I had the baby in the crib. Just a newborn. Pretty much a newborn. Just weeks. I had that baby in the crib. In the bedroom. No door to that bedroom. She said, for anybody to come in the house, they would have had to come by me to go back to that bedroom. She said, every now and then I would go peek in on the baby. The baby was asleep. The baby was doing fine in the crib. She said, after a while, I went again and poked my head in the door, and there was no baby in the crib. The crib was empty. She said, I went into a panic. She said, I went to screaming and hollering, and my first thought, nobody could get in the house. The door was locked. They would have had to come by me. The windows are locked. There's no way into this bedroom. And then the awful fear hit her. Could it be that I thought I was saved and I wasn't? And the rapture has taken place. And by the way, the babies will go. The babies will go. She knew a Bible. She knew the preaching. She scared her to death. No way for the baby to get out of the house. The baby's gone. The crib is empty. Has the Lord Jesus come and I'm left behind? She explained the horror of what she felt for a few minutes. And after a time of great panic, she finally ran over to the crib and grabbed a hold of it. And then she discovered that little baby had somehow turned over and fell in the crevice between the mattress and the rail with the blanket to the place it looked like no baby was in the crib. When she told that, I thought the horror of people that are going to find out they've been left behind. What an awful, awful thing. I'd say to you this morning, look deep in your heart and soul. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting him? Do you have peace inside that if that trumpet, if that moment, twinkle of an eye came and others disappeared, would you go with them or would you be left behind? I'll tell you something. It's a dangerous thing to say, I'll fix it later. It's a dangerous thing to say, all right, I'll get saved before that happens, preacher. How long have you been saying that? Years? How long?
Walk out of the building today, you're taking a great gamble that Jesus don't come before you get home. He could. He could. This morning you can leave that seat and come down the aisle and receive Christ and leave this building saying, okay, it's all right now, Lord. Lord, it's okay. If you call, I'm coming. I belong to you now. Oh, somebody says, where does a Christian claim he has peace? From that right there. Death will lose its fear. You won't fear it like you used to. And you won't fear the trumpet sounding and leaving you behind. Hey, I'm talking to you about this book being fulfilled so fast that we have a week like we've had this week. The good thing is, whatever happens, I'm a winner in Jesus Christ. I'm saved. Are you saved this morning?